At Novavax, we want to make sure you have all the facts. And the fact is, there are different types of COVID-19 vaccines available. So if you're thinking about getting an updated vaccine, ask your doctor or pharmacist about the options available to you so you can make an informed choice. Find out more at WeDoVaccines.com. That's WeDoVaccines.com. This message was brought to you by Novavax.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Happy day after Christmas to you, and welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. We are live, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. And we're going to have a great time this week, ladies and gentlemen. A lot going on. I'll be hosting, filling in for Chris Salcedo on Newsmax, the main channel. So we'll talk about that in just a little while. But all this week, I've decided to be here behind the microphone so we can hang out together and ring in the new year, 2024. There's a lot of news going on around the nation. Write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in today, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And we've got the whole gang here in Memphis, which is sort of exciting. We have Dylan, and we have the lovely Grace Baker, who made it in from Chicago. You know, I was really concerned, Grace, that you weren't going to make it here. I was covering the news, and the bulletins came out that the pro-Hamas mob was blocking the entrances to Chicago O'Hare Airport.
Well, thankfully, driving helped, so I didn't have to really worry about them. But I saw that, and I was like, "Phew, made it out just in time."
Well, that's
Jeez Louise.
Good. So you spent Christmas down in Dixie, as they say.
Yes, exactly.
All right. By the way, tell Dylan we're still playing Christmas music this week.
Oh,
right. We don't
through
do
the
it.
New year.
Yeah, we don't do it a lot, but at least up until Friday.
I feel like you can keep your Christmas tree out until New Year's Day, but after that, I'm kind of like it's got to come down.
Really,
some
people keep their trees up forever.
It's not the same.
It's not. And the lights, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, you got to take it down.
I was watching. These people are very kind. They're very good-hearted people. I don't know who they are, but they're decorating homes for the military veterans for Christmas. And all I could think of was, okay, but are they going to take them back down?
Yeah,
right?
That's the real thing. That's what I'm telling you. I see these signs that are like, we'll hang up, Christmas lights. Obviously, pay them. But I've just thought, man, it's really not putting them up. That's kind of fun. Taking them down is what nobody wants to do.
Oh, that's a chore. So was Santa good to you this year?
Yes. And to Little Merlot, Santa Paws.
Oh, really? Santa?
Yes.
Wait, Santa who?
Santa Paws.
Santa Paws.
Yes, Santa's what, dog.
Is that a thing?
For people with dogs, it is.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't sure. I don't know.
You got lots of treats and squeaky toys.
By the way, speaking of squeaky toys and treats, the biggest story, I think the national news story, I'll be talking about this on Newsmax, from Bartlett, Tennessee, where the police were summoned to St. Francis Hospital. I don't know if you've heard this story, but they found a giant beaver.
A beaver
in the hospital.
How did he end up there?
I don't know.
Maybe somebody had a pet beaver.
So the beaver's wandering around, and they found the beaver right at, like, underneath a baby grand piano, and the beaver was eyeing the piano legs.
Oh.
I think he was about to have Christmas dinner.
That's fair. I mean, that's a very good quality wood, I'm sure.
So they called the police, and the police get there. And, I mean, this beaver, we've got pictures of the beaver. This thing is huge.
Yeah, he had had a few pianos probably at his time.
A couple of grands. Forget the baby grand.
Not keyboards.
It's a big old fella. So anyway, the police came and they were able to get the beaver out. And the beaver was, I don't know, do we have a Buc-ee's nearby?
Oh, No, we don't. We should.
We
this
really should.
Be like an advertisement for it.
But being at a hospital, that's the one place where you don't want to find beaver nuggets.
That's true.
So that's a terrible
that's
place.
True. That's terrible.
So anyway, we have great pictures of this on the website. You're like, wait, is that the most pressing issue facing America? Yes, it is. Yeah, do not doubt me, America.
I'm sure that's the best story the Bartlett police had all week.
Well, I loved how they've got a great social media director, and they posted the picture of the beaver underneath the piano, and what they wrote was num 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 piano piano.
It's like the Cookie Monster.
It is. Well done, Bartlett Police Department. So you know, if you're going to get arrested, you may as well do it on Bartlett. At least they're going to, you know, they'll have fun with you on social media.
That's true.
I mean, you
It'll
know,
go viral.
if you got to do that. All right. Wow. So the Christmas season, ladies and gentlemen, was somewhat marred by these pro-Hamas mobs that have been rampaging around the nation. And it was pretty bad in New York City over the weekend, where there were clashes between the NYPD and these pro-Hamas, mostly Muslim protests, by the way, folks. And that's and I'm going to get to that. We've talked about this in the past. This is what it sounded like, Cut 13. All right. So some of the protesters blinked around and they found out. They did. And the police were not having any of it. Honestly, they should have called out the National Guard. And to have the police officers out there, the NYPD, they should have been in full tactical gear. I mean, this was a pretty violent, ugly mob of people. At one point, they were actually shouting and then pointing at police officers, shouting, Jew, Jew, Jew. As I mean, look, this is getting ugly here. And it's been happening all over the country. So in Collierville, which is a beautiful suburb of Memphis, and I believe it's probably the easternmost suburb in the city. So it's pretty far removed from Memphis proper. But anyway, they have a lot of it's a smaller community, beautiful downtown, that quintessential southern downtown, and they have an outdoor shopping mall, which is one of the few that hasn't been overrun by the so you've got this beautiful outdoor mall. People are doing their Christmas Eve shopping, and all of a sudden, this mob, this rampaging mob of Muslims, they show up. They're driving in cars, and they're blocking the roads. They're waving the Palestinian flags, and this is cut number two. So anyway, you get a flavor. This was going on and on and on. And so anyway, the Muslims are coming after me now because they're saying, well, that's not terrorism. No, I believe it was. The whole point was to instill terror, fear into the hearts of these Christmas shoppers. And all of this started, by the way, in the parking lot of the Memphis Muslim Center, the Islamic Center. In Memphis, and they did this big convoy, and they were doing these convoys all over America. It wasn't just in Memphis. This is what it sounded like. Cut number three.
Palestine.
Oh, sweet
Free
Lord!
Palestine forever.
My ears.
Free Palestine. Ceasefire. Ceasefire now.
Okay, we're good. Wow. How'd you like to be married to that? Whew, sweet mercy. They were driving around and flying the flags, hanging out of the vehicles, and they're all masked up. They're wearing the headgear, the whole nine yards. And the whole point of this is they want you to be in fear. They want you to be terrified. And look, I was surprised. I mean, here they were in Memphis traffic honking horns. Usually that'll get you shot, right? I mean, you don't honk your horn in Memphis. That's just kind of a rule. When I moved here, the first thing somebody said was, welcome to Memphis, what if you don't honk your horn? I'm like, well, all right. Anyway, while all that was going on, in Union Square in San Francisco, they had this beautiful Christmas tree, and the Palestinian mob actually scaled the tree. They're throwing down the beautiful ornaments, and they're desecrating the Christmas tree with the Palestinian flag. You say, Todd, what's going on here? Well, we've talked about this for a while on this radio program, and I warned you on October 7th was the terrorist attack. That was a Saturday, then Sunday the 8th. On October the 9th, on this program, I told you that what we were facing is not some sort of a political war, a geopolitical war. We were facing a religious war, a holy war. A lot of people dismissed it. Nobody really picked up on this until about a week or two ago when people realized, wait a second, why are they trying to shut down Christmas? Because that's what the mob is doing. They tried to shut down Christmas. They were not successful because our God is a lot bigger than that. But they were trying. And so you need to understand that they're coming after the Jews and the Christians. So we're in this together. And the Muslims do not want, and by the way, I'm wondering how much longer I should ask this question. But they say there are moderate Muslims out there. And if there are moderate Muslims, would love to hear from you. We keep asking for you to call in. We keep asking you to respond, but nobody ever does. But I am curious because they say there are moderate Muslims out there. And yet we can't seem to find them. Haven't seen a single Muslim condemn what happened on October the 7th. And I don't think we will. I haven't seen a single moderate Muslim stand up and say, hey, leave the Christians alone. Let them celebrate the holidays. And step aside for a second. Ask yourself this question. What do you think the media response would be if it was the Christians and the Jews attacking the Muslims on their holy days? How do you think that would go over? Just think about that for a moment. So again, we are dealing with a radicalized religion that wants to destroy the Jews and the Christians. There's no way of, and you see, look, we're going to play some audio here. This is an Islamic scholar. And I think this was from a few years back. We don't have a date on when this happened, but it was during a big panel discussion on television. And the American Islamic scholar basically explains, and you're going to hear her say this, that they don't want to have Christianity and the Jewish faith. They don't want them existing. They don't want to be in the same world. So in other words, they want to eliminate Christianity and Judaism. Cut number 9.
Those practices from the West are rooted in Christianity. And these celebrations actually harm us. Now, the West is a multicultural society. It's not like Kuwait. We're talking apples and oranges. Over there is no right and wrong except what the government and the people decide is right and what they decide is wrong. If tomorrow they want to make it illegal to walk down the street wearing a hat, they can do that. But we are a Muslim society. Our constitution is based on the Sharia. And as Muslims, we believe that nobody is above God in legislating. So when we allow these things to happen, we have to be very careful. Because if you have a celebration like Christmas, perhaps. In Christmas, what is it? It's the celebration. It's not something giving gifts and having fun and singing carols. It's actually the celebration of the birth of the Son of God, who is God himself in flesh.
Amen.
So God himself came and was given birth by Mary to create Jesus, who is God. So when we say that this is okay, we are not respecting the religion, we are participating. And there's a difference between respect and participation. When you participate in something, you are saying that it is valid, that this is acceptable, that this is something that we as a society consider to be correct. But In the Quran, Allah says, "Qul hu Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad." He is not born, he was not procreated, he is not anything. He's not the son, he's not the father, there is only one God. So when we accept these celebrations and we propagate them throughout the society, what's happening is we are accepting that. We're saying, that's cool. There's nothing wrong with saying that God has a son. You know, today I was reading that in one of the Christian websites, we as Christians have to accept that Mary, the creation of God, brought forth her creator. This is the idea. This is Christmas.
So there you go. They don't believe that we should have the right to celebrate Christmas. All right, so if there are any moderate Muslims out there who might disagree, we would love to hear from you. But that's why they're doing what they're doing. So that's why they're shutting down. You know, they were going after Hanukkah. They were going after all of the Jewish celebrations. Now they're focusing on us. And this is why we need to be vigilant. Because this is happening in big cities and small towns like Collierville, Tennessee. And if it's happening there, it could happen in your community. And look, we were fortunate that there was no violence in Collierville. That was certainly not the case in New York City. There was also violence over the weekend in California. But Catherine Herridge from CBS News is predicting that we may have a national security event. They're calling them Black Swan events. And one of those could happen. A lot of people are feeling very, very uneasy. We're going to talk about that coming up after the break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. This Christmas, the new film from director George Clooney arrives. It's a rags-to-riches, absolute crowd-pleaser based on the number one New York Times best-selling book, the inspirational true story about one of the most difficult sports in the world and the 1936 University of Washington College rowing team that competed for gold at the Summer Games in Berlin. It'll inspire you, folks. This team rowed out of need, the need to eat and the need to sleep. And it gave them an edge that captures the power of working together to overcome all odds while rowing for America. They don't make movies like this anymore, and it's filled with wholesome content that makes it the ideal multi-generational movie for the holidays. Joel Edgerton and Callan Turner star in this exciting and incredible story of courage, hard work, and determination, showcasing America at its best. Believe in each other. Believe in the impossible. The Boys in the Boat opens Christmas Day in theaters only. Get tickets now. BoysInTheBoatMovie.com. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Hope you have emerged from your food coma from yesterday. Wow. A lot of celebrating going on out there. Also, some celebrating happening in the governor's office there in Colorado. Have you seen the video of Jared Polis? He is the I shouldn't mention this, but it may or may not be relevant to the story. But he is of the homosexual persuasion. He is not that that matters, except. Most gay men would never be caught dead doing what the governor was doing, which is dancing and singing to a Christmas carol in Spanish. Cut number five.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
A little pitchy there, dog. Just a little pitchy. So, Grace Baker, I know you've seen the video here of the governor.
I have, and he's doing this weird, like,
jazz hands.
It's not even jazz hands, though.
They're like,
it's like you're pretending to be a horse and you're prancing back and forth.
There is some limp-wristedness going on.
I mean, that's
it's
true.
It's a little off-putting.
And the whole video is.
I'm just thinking, you know, and the guy was just not dressed. It was just weird. He's the governor of Colorado. And there was some cultural appropriation going down.
I was like, did his like kids convince him to make like a TikTok or something? What is this? Oh,
did he purchase children or how did that? No. Does he have kids?
Oh, I don't know. I'm spitballing. A relative,
all right,
maybe.
Thank you for spitballing.
No.
Oh, you can rent a womb these days. It's apparently the big thing in 2023. Why is Grace walking out of the studio now? We got to take a break. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com. Or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Exciting news, Houston, Texas. Next week, we start broadcasting in that big city. That's our largest city, by the way, folks. That's going to be a lot of fun. And you folks in Amarillo, Texas, get ready because we're laying the groundwork to come to your great community as well. So, Grace, you know, a little bit of news over the weekend involving this program and the family.
Yes.
So this was sort of huge. And, Dylan, we've sort of been teasing this for the past, I don't know, 3 years. And so now you've gone and done it because you've been dating the sweet future Mrs. Bordop for a while now.
Yeah.
Can we call her Miss Mary? Is that okay?
You can call her Miss Mary.
Mary. All right. So you and Miss Mary have been dating for a long time now.
Coming up on 4 years.
Wow. How did you guys meet?
We met online, actually, and it's one of those weird things that you don't think will work out, but it worked out with us.
How does that work? I mean, you just search Facebook or you scroll?
It's the dating apps.
Yeah, there's a lot of them now.
Oh, really?
But it is. I will say it was a Christian dating app. So,
like Christian Mingle, do you want to give them a shout out?
They changed their name. I don't even know what it's called now. It used to be called something else.
I thought it was called Christian Mingle. They've got multiple now, I think.
Well,
Aunt Babes for the sake of Jesus.
Yeah. I don't know. Chicks for
Farmers
Christ.
Farmers only, Christian edition.
Christian chicks. So you met Miss Mary online. So you started dating. And so what happened over the weekend? This is exciting news.
Over the weekend, I proposed to her.
Did she say yes?
And she said yes.
Okay, good.
That's great. So I'm intrigued by how all this went down. I know the story because so while you were doing the deed, I was with the family.
Doing the deed?
Well, you know, taking
said that
the
anymore.
Knee. Yeah, you're taking the knee. You're dropping to the knee.
Yeah, that deed.
So, but you did do that, right? Did you do it traditional?
It was traditional. I did drop to the knee. I was so nervous that I almost didn't, though.
Really?
So yeah. It wasn't one of those things where the girl proposes to the guy, because that's a thing now, you know.
No, she didn't propose to me.
That's un-American. No. Wait. Girls propose to
I've heard of this.
Guys?
I don't know anybody that this has happened, but, you
it
know, equality,
thing.
Todd.
Yeah. It is a thing. For equality's sake.
That marriage is doomed.
Probably. I would like to see the divorce rates on that when the woman proposes.
Right, let's get Ben Dieter on that story. So let's take us through this. So how did you decide how are you going to do all of this?
I wanted to recreate our first date.
That's romantic.
And I added a special lunch date to this. We went to the Peabody Hotel downtown Memphis.
That's a good choice.
Do we pay you enough for that?
He'd been saving up a long time.
I had to save up for the date.
You saved up for the date. So a beautiful brunch at the Peabody.
Yeah, it was very good.
What'd
chicken
you have?
And waffles.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, that's good.
That's good.
By the way, don't recommend that if you're nervous, because it upsets
it's
the
heavy.
Tummy.
What's the syrup?
It's heavy.
And the grease from the chicken.
Yep.
Yeah, that'll do it.
But did you see the ducks?
I saw the ducks. And I saw where
did
they
look at you funny because you ate their, like, kin. The chicken.
Oh, jeez, Lou. Oh.
Anyway.
Should've by the apologized. Way, they actually have a French restaurant there, Chez Philippe, ooh, which is really wow. fancy. But they don't have duck on the menu out of respect.
That's for a good
makes
thing.
Sense.
If I were the duck master, I would be using that as, like, a weapon.
Like motivation.
You misbehave, you're going to dinner. Yeah.
You're on jeez, the menu tonight.
That's
you're
animal
the
cruelty.
You're I think the chef you'd have, special.
I think you'd have pita on that right away.
All right. So you had chicken and waffles.
Yes.
And you're at the Peabody. Is that where you dropped to the knee?
No, that was me stalling, basically. I needed time. I had helpers helping me set up where I proposed, and they needed time to set up. So basically, lunch was just a distraction, but it was a good lunch, good brunch. Took her to the rooftop of the Peabody. That's
and
a thing
thought
for people.
That's where it was going to happen.
Oh, she did. I bet.
She thought that's where it was going
to
happen.
That's a good spot to do it at.
I will say it was raining all day. So it was the worst day for me almost.
Wow. And they say that's good luck on your wedding day. So
yeah. Well, then there you go. But, you know, I didn't do it there. That was buying time. Took her to where we got ice cream the first time we went on our date. And
oh, nostalgia.
And so after that, we went to the park. I took her to a park. And I did it there at the park.
So everything at the park was already preset.
Yes.
So you had your aunt was in the bushes with the camera.
Yep.
And then your sister had set everything up.
Yep.
And then as you're heading to the park where you were going to reenact your first date, something very interesting occurred to you.
Oh, yeah. You're leaving out an important detail.
I left this out on purpose, but here we go. As we are headed to the park, I'm trying to, you know, be sweet. I'm trying to say, hey, do you remember, you know, our first date? Like, what did we do? You know, she's like, oh, yeah, we went to this park. And I was like, oh, this park, not the park that we're at right now that we just pulled up in.
So and you picked the wrong park.
So basically.
The wrong park.
Todd and Grace, I picked the wrong park that we went on our first date.
Whoops.
Oh, no.
Oops.
You just keep moving. Just keep moving.
So I said, well, we're here.
So and come over here.
Let's get out.
And once she saw the setup, I'm sure all was forgotten.
So we knew something was up because we were at the house.
Yes.
And I walk in and everybody is on their iPhone. And so you may not have known this, but everybody in that house was literally tracking your and Mary's every movement.
Yes.
Like the phone, tracking the phone.
Tracking the phone.
Find
oh,
my
wow.
friends.
And so everybody was freaking out because, like, wait a second, they stopped. Why did they stop? I'm like, leave them alone. Just turn your phones off. Be surprised.
There is no surprises here, Todd. I was way too nervous. I almost told her before I even got on a knee. It was
so she knew it was coming.
She knew. She's, you know, she's got the, I don't know. She should be an investigator is what I'm trying to say.
Wow.
She figured it out, but it was sweet. She loved the setup. Everything went perfectly after that. It was just the fact that, you know.
It happens.
Wrong
There's
place.
Always a story.
Do the guys still ask for the, do you go to the dad and say, hey, I want to marry your daughter?
Yes, I did.
Wow. How did that go?
It went well.
Okay, good. I'm assuming it did.
I was going to say.
It went very well. Yeah, he's great.
Well, I saw the ring and it is beautiful. Gold, yellow gold, my favorite. Beautiful.
It was a beautiful.
Beautiful ring.
People were slightly distracted from the food buffet at the party as a result of the ring.
It's just shining, right. Bouncing off the light. Yeah, it's a beautiful ring.
Well, this is it. Well, congratulations. Have you guys set a date?
We have not. We need to get on that.
Got to give them a few days. Well, and it was Christmas, right before Christmas.
Yeah.
So you'll figure it out.
You know what's going to happen. The great Todd Stern Show audience, they're going to be here to help you through all of this.
I do need help.
Yes, you do. And so we're going to do that. And so any advice now that Dylan has got himself engaged, we want to hear from you. If you have any kind of guidance or suggestions for Dylan, who will soon be a newlywed, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I mean, you were just there, what, 2 years ago?
3 years ago.
3 years
ago. I know, if you can believe it. And
mercy.
Do you remember Governor Mike Huckabee on air gave me marriage advice?
I remember that.
I don't even remember what he said. I was just like, wow, he just gave me marriage advice. That's one for the book.
It's great. I mean, not many people can say they got marriage advice from Mike Huckabee.
That's very true.
But I know that our audience is going to they're going to have some things because, Dylan, there are going to be things you never even knew to ask about. You know, landmines you don't want to step on.
Are you talking about wedding planning or marriage?
Is this World War III?
You don't have anything to do with the wedding except showing up.
And just saying, yes, dear, that looks good, dear.
I also don't want to be that guy that just doesn't help at all. If I'm asked something, I will answer. I won't be like, yeah, whatever, that sounds good.
The answer is always, whatever you want.
Yeah. Looks good to me.
No, I'm not going to try to change what she wants. That's for sure. But
all right.
If she asks me, I will answer.
Well, this is exciting news. It's, again, wedding bells, again, here on the Todd Stearns radio program. This is exciting. We're getting everybody married off.
Yes. Now, next, you know, you got to get a dog.
I want a dog right now.
There you go.
It's time.
Then you'll have a little family.
Oh, my. Thank you,
and
Grace.
And then Merlot can play with your dog.
Oh, my goodness.
Perfect.
All right. We got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926 if you want to offer Dylan some advice on how to have a happy marriage. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes. All right, Sharon is writing in. Todd, I proposed to my husband. I did not kneel or anything. I just asked if we could get married. Then I told him that we'd get a tax break, and I think that's what did it. Oh, yeah, I think that may have done it, Sharon. Good for you. So there you go. All right. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So Kamala Harris was in the news. She was, first of all, she and her husband posted a photograph of them celebrating Christmas. But it turns out that an astute observer noticed a digital clock in the background, and it was not Christmas. The photograph had actually been taken on Christmas Eve. So she's fake celebrating Christmas. And now we understand that Kamala Harris is celebrating Kwanzaa, and she's lighting the candles, and I don't know, whatever you do for Kwanzaa. It's a made-up holiday. Cut number 10.
Happy holidays, everyone. I wanted to take a moment to send my warmest wishes to everyone celebrating Kwanzaa. Like so many other holidays, we will be celebrating Kwanzaa a little differently this season in our home. We'll be doing it over Zoom. You know, my sister and I, we grew up celebrating Kwanzaa. Every year, our family would, and our extended family, we would gather around across multiple generations. And we tell stories. The kids would sit on the carpet and the elders would sit in chairs. And we would light the candles and, of course, afterwards have a beautiful meal. And, of course, there was always the discussion of the seven principles. And my favorite, I have to tell you, was always the one about self-determination, Kujichagulia. And, you know, essentially it's about, you know, it's about be and do. Be the person you want to be and do the things you want to do and do the things that need to be done. It's about not letting anyone write our future for us, but instead going out and writing it for ourselves. And that principle motivates me today as we seek to confront the challenges facing our country and to build a brighter future for all Americans. So to everyone who is celebrating, happy Kwanzaa from our family to yours.
Okay, I'm calling crapola here. I don't believe that she and her family were celebrating Kwanzaa the way she described it. First of all, Kwanzaa was actually created back in 1966, so she was a little baby. And it's not like this thing all of a sudden became a national holiday where every minority in the nation was celebrating Kwanzaa. It took a long, long time. So for her to come out there and say, she talked about her elders. All right, who are the elders that were celebrating? Because, again, it started in 1966, so it's impossible. There's no way that this all happened the way she said it happened. But let's just assume for the sake of the argument that 1.5-year-old Kamala Harris was celebrating Kwanzaa. If she was celebrating Kwanzaa back in 1966, she was celebrating the original version of the, it's not even a holiday, it's an event. And I want you to hear this. This is from the actual history of Kwanzaa. The whole point was to give black people an alternative to the existing holiday of Christmas and give black people an opportunity to celebrate themselves and their history rather than simply imitate the practice of the dominant society. By the way, Kwanzaa was founded by a member of the Black Power movement. He said, you must have a cultural revolution before the violent revolution. So there you go. It was meant to be an alternative to Christmas. By the way, the founder of Kwanzaa, Malukarenga is his name, did not like Christians. Says Jesus was psychotic and Christianity was a white religion that black people should shun. So this is what, I mean, if we are to believe what Kamala Harris just spewed into your ears, then she was celebrating this version of Kwanzaa. Because it wasn't until years later, like 1997, that they started moving away from this, we hate white people, we hate Christians. So she can't have it both ways. So quite frankly, we need to be asking Kamala Harris what exactly about the original origins of Kwanzaa that she embraced. Do you get presents? By the way, I got a text message over the weekend from somebody who works in the business. And it's funny because the Christians, a lot of times, have to work all the holidays. And then the other religious groups get to double dip. And it sort of cracks me up that that's the way it is. But it just seems to me that there's some sort of, I don't know, holiday hospitality, right? Where if you're a holiday, let's just say you celebrate Hanukkah, then you would volunteer to work on Christmas. Instead, a lot of people don't do that. And so then the... So this person was complaining. I said, well, I hate to break it to you, but that's the way it goes. Suck it up, buttercup. That's what I say. By the way, coming up in just a little while, we're going to be talking to Ryan Walters, who is the superintendent of Oklahoma school system. He's eliminating DEI programs. I love this guy. It's going to be a great conversation. Also, we're going to be talking to the former sheriff of San Diego, Josiah O'Neill. He's got a brand new book out, and we'll be talking to him about that. I have to tell you about our good friends over at Newsmax, folks. Christmas just passed. I've got a great gift idea, and the best part about it, right now it is free. And who doesn't want free, especially after spending an arm and a leg on Christmas presents? So I want to encourage you to give yourself the new streaming service, Newsmax Plus. So it's not like woke Netflix or Disney Plus or Hulu. Newsmax Plus is just pretty awesome. You're going to get Rob Schmidt, Eric Bolling, Greta Van Susteren, Greg Kelly. You're also going to get a lot of movies and documentaries. By the way, Newsmax Plus just launched and more than 180,000 people have signed up. That's massive. Newsmax Plus lets you watch the Newsmax channel on your phone or home TV, your app, you name it. And it's the only streamer to give you all of the Donald Trump rallies. Fox News, they censor most of the Donald Trump rallies, which is why you need to get Newsmax Plus today. Now, here's the deal. It is free to start. All you have to do is go to NewsmaxPlus.com, and you can start your free trial by going to NewsmaxPlus.com. That's NewsmaxPlus.com. Millions are switching to Newsmax, so try it free today. Folks, man, next year it is going to be wild. We're adding more stations, going to be doing a lot of speaking engagements, and, of course, the brand new book, my brand new book, comes out in March, and it is going to be awesome. Very excited about the early reviews. President Trump wrote the foreword to the book, and we have a lot of great endorsers. The name of the book is called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And you know I'm a hopeful person, so the answer to that question is yes, and I show you how in the book. And it's based on an obscure speech that Ronald Reagan delivered many, many years ago about our national anthem. So I would encourage you during the break, go check out Twilight's Last Gleaming. It's available for pre-order right now. So you can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, wherever you get your books. You folks in Memphis, Novel Memphis, and help us out. Pre-order a copy or two or three, and we'll be telling you more about that in the coming months. We'll be right back, folks.
Are you struggling to lose weight and keep it off? Tired of wasting time and money on starvation diets that lead to more frustration and stress? If there was a weight loss solution that could actually work for you, would you try it? Then head to Golo.com.
I'm Steve. I lost 138 pounds in 9 months on Golo.
I'm Amber. I've lost 128 pounds with Golo Taking Release.
If you're ready to take back control of your life, head to Golo.com now and see how Golo can work for you. That's Golo.com.
My sleep is way better. My inflammation has gone way down. Golo saved my life. I was way overweight. That's what sent me down the path. I wanted to make sure and live for my kid.
I have literally tried everything. I was on the verge of getting gastric bypass surgery, and I saw the Golo commercial, and it was the last thing I tried because it worked.
Join over 2 million people who have found a better way to lose weight with Golo. Your healthier and happier life begins at Golo.com. That's Golo.com. Again, Golo.com.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hello. Sorry, I was slightly distracted by a headline coming out of Rand Paul's office. Apparently, we're funding studies on transgender monkeys. And we're getting them high on meth. So we'll talk more about that in just a little while. It's, folks, it's insane. What can I tell you? Hey, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us. Write down our telephone number. You will need this. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, Cheryl is sending me a text for Dylan Grace Baker. She says she loved Dylan's proposal story. Congratulations. I think that's an applause emoji.
Aww.
Never end your day angry. That's the advice.
Oh, that's true. That's good advice.
Always kiss and make up before going to sleep at night.
That's true.
Oh, there's like a little smiley face emoji blowing a kiss.
Aww, so, that's sweet.
By the way, the Bartlett Police Department, the beaver story,
yes.
They had like a little beaver emoji.
Aww. I didn't know there was a beaver emoji.
Oh, and my apologies. You know, when we make a mistake here on the program, we fess up to it. Unlike some of the other talk radio hosts out there. I suggested that it was actually Punxsutawney Phil who had invaded the hospital, but someone told me that Punxsutawney Phil is a groundhog.
Oh, that's true.
It's very not different. A beaver.
Yeah, don't insult them now.
Yeah, and I was, yes, they were very critical of my barnyard knowledge.
Cultural appropriation, I guess.
By the way, you know what I'm excited about? Speaking about educating yourself, I'm very excited about what's happening in Oklahoma right now. where they have a rock-solid conservative in the position of superintendent, Ryan Walters. He has introduced some initiatives that will eliminate all DEI programs. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Mr. Walters, great to have you with us. Hope you had a Merry Christmas.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that, Todd. Hope you had a Merry Christmas as well, and I sure appreciate you leading the charge on this fight. We appreciate you very much.
Well, I'm excited about this, and the implications here. I was telling people, if you're an employer and you're looking for somebody who knows their pronouns and can actually add and subtract and read, get somebody from Oklahoma, because you guys are doing it the right way.
Right. You know, I mean, and that's been our position from the beginning, right, is what we have seen is a bunch of left-wing radicals take over and control our education system, frankly, for decades. It started in higher ed, and they have completely controlled our K-12 system. Well, we're not going to allow it a second longer. There will be no diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in Oklahoma. There will be no DEI officers. There will be no DEI criteria for any programs in our K-12 system. We're going to run it out of town, and you know what? We're going to replace it with going back to meritocracy, going back to telling kids God created you all uniquely with unique talents, and we know that God wants to see the most out of those talents. And frankly, what we have done is we've sacrificed the belief of individual achievement at the altar of wokeism, and it's going to stop right here, right now in Oklahoma.
Ryan, I'm curious how this is playing at Department of Education headquarters. Are you getting any blowback?
Well, I will tell you, you know, not in our agency now. I mean, I had to fire over 100 employees in my first few months there. It has just become infested with a bunch of left-wing radicals that the previous Democrat superintendent put in place. But we're really clear. Here's where we're headed. We're going to go back to high expectations, a conservative viewpoint here on education, school choice. And frankly, we've been very clear on this. We're going to put God back in school. We're going to embrace prayer. We're going to embrace biblical principles. We're going to talk about the Bible and its role in American history. And look, if you don't want to do that, there's the door. And we fired a lot of folks, ran them out. And we've now got an agency that's laser focused on student outcomes. Now, the teachers union and our Democrats across the aisle there are losing their mind every step of the way. But we've listened to parents for years now on this, and they have been loud and clear. Get us our schools back, put us in charge, and let's get these kids back to learning the basics, not to every left-wing ideology that the Marxists can come up with.
So I love this. It's terrific, and this is really a blueprint, Ryan, that I think other states could follow down the road.
Look, I completely agree. I think Oklahoma, we are laying out the blueprint on how to get back to a focus in our schools on academic success, on the basics that we know will, you know, it'll help make kids employable. But number one, it'll help you lead to a higher quality of life. Knowledge is a gateway for you to start understanding yourself better, the world around you. You start to develop your own talents. We have robbed our kids of this because of these activists that have invaded our classrooms. And you've got to go back. You've got to put these rules in place. And I'll tell you the other part, Todd. You got to enforce them. We've sat here. We have taken away teacher certificates who refuse to obey the law and continue to push critical race theory. We have taken schools accreditation and dinged their accreditation, saying if you push critical race theory, if you violate our laws, you won't be an accredited school in Oklahoma. We're just not going to allow it. The left will continue going as far as we let them go. You've got to put these rules and laws in place, and you got to go out there and enforce them and get our schools back on track.
I'm curious, were you able to go in, you take office, were you able to delineate, okay, here's where we are now as a school district with the DEI programs in place, here's what it used to be. Can you talk about some of the changes that you saw that concerned you?
Yes, sir. So one of the first things we did is we required districts to turn over documentation on any kind of DEI program they had. We actually required it of higher ed as well to see where are these programs. And you know what we found? This is where we found the American Library Association. They had embedded themselves in our districts and in our agency. So we threw the American Library Association and their self-proclaimed Marxist president out of the state. We then went in and started finding these type of nonprofit groups that had embedded themselves in our schools. We found a CCP, Communist Chinese Party funded group in Tulsa Public Schools. We ran them out of the state as well. And so this is what came, but I will say the first step was a requirement of transparency around schools' budgets. You guys are going to show us where you're spending money. You're going to give us the, and we said, you got to give us the material. I want to see what you're handing kids. I want to see what you're training our teachers with. And with that, we began to really start unraveling all of these tentacles that the left had put into our schools. And so we just have one by one have just been rooting them out and then frankly replacing them with curriculum like PragerU. We now have PragerU available in every school for every parent to be able to utilize. And we're going to keep pushing content that actually talks about American values, actually talks about our Judeo-Christian faith. And that's what we're going to, we're not only going to take out the woke nonsense, we want to replace it back with what is good, what is true, what is valuable in understanding America.
And I understand no more drag queens, no more of this gender studies garbage.
You know, we uncovered, we had an administrator over here that was moonlighting as a drag queen, bragging about while they're doing their drag queen appearances that they're actually an administrator at the school, and then he hired another drag queen in the school. And we passed a rule that said, listen, there's got to be a sexual code of conduct for our teachers. You can't be a stripper. You can't be a drag queen. You can't bring all this ideology. And we know what they're doing with this. They are trying to sexualize our kids. They are trying to turn our kids into a social justice warrior. The conversations we've heard that administrators and teachers have had with kids around sex and transgenderism is outrageous. It should never happen. We have got to hone this in. We have got to focus in and make sure that the adults around our kids are actually trying to educate them, not indoctrinate them. So no, there's not going to be any drag queens in the classroom or administration in Oklahoma. We're not going to allow this overly sexualized material into our classroom. We banned pornography in schools. We banned any conversation around transgenderism with kids in our schools. And we're going to continue to protect parents' rights because, again, yeah, I hear it every day. Parents want to know that their schools are not going to try to indoctrinate their kids, and we've got to be aggressive on this front.
So I'm curious to know what advice you would give, but there are so many school districts around the nation where there are nonpartisan races, and there's been a lot of pushback in some cities and communities. Parents have been saying, hey, we need to know who the Republicans and Democrats are so at least we can figure out where people stand on the issues. How important is that to have those partisan school board races? Does that make any difference?
Huge difference. I'm gonna say two things on that, Todd. Number one, a lot of states, and we're working on moving this, they have their school board elections at really off cycle. So they're at a strange time of the year. They're not on a primary or general cycle. Turnout is very low, and the teachers' unions drive turnout. So you'll have 300 people vote, 250 of them will be members or relatives of members of the teachers' union, and they'll get people into these boards. We've got to elevate the elections. Number two, absolutely. People need to tell you what party they are in. The left has politicized schools for 40 years. And now that conservatives are fighting back just to get in common sense curriculum, just to bring us back to the basics on what we should be focused on, they're acting like the right's politicizing it. The left has completely controlled education for 30 plus years. We have got to get these folks to be transparent. Are you a Democrat? Why are you running for this office? Why are you taking money from the teachers union? We've got to get good, solid conservatives on school boards to get this ship turned around. And I will say, the left, this has been a long play for them. They understood they control media. They control higher ed. They control so much of the way to influence the public. If they control K-12 schools, you know, outside of the church, they have controlled every major, ability to influence the next generation. So we absolutely have to win this war. And I think a big part of it is, as you said, we've got to get good people on our school boards. Hey, we have one really great member that joined the Tulsa Public Schools School Board. And man, she is just shaking things up, demanding transparency, demanding them pull these DEI programs. It's amazing what just one super solid board member can do.
That is so encouraging, I have to imagine, to a lot of people listening today. Ryan, man, congratulations. You've really have been doing what a lot of people say they're going to do, but you went in there, you got yourself elected, and you are going to town, and we're so excited about that.
Well, I appreciate it very much, and I'm going to tell you, one of the most surprising things to me about it is I've had my fellow Republicans attacking me, some of them getting money from the teachers' union, telling me, slow down. Hey, don't go. Why are you doing all these things? We know you talked about it during the election, but, you know, you don't go do them. You just keep campaigning on them. And I go, guys, I guess I didn't get the memo. Okay, when I went out and told the voters I was going to do this, I meant it. I think this is why people are so fed up of so many Republicans that go out and say that they're going to do things and don't do them. We are acting with a sense of urgency to get our schools back on track, listening to the will of the voters, listening to the will of parents and community leaders, and we are not going to slow down.
Good for you. And we got your back, so you let us know. You catch any blowback, you let us know, and we'll step in.
Absolutely. Appreciate you so much. Thank you for letting me on today.
All right. Ryan Walters, everybody. He is the superintendent of public instruction in the great state of Oklahoma. What do you think about that? And by the way, I hear from so many Republicans that they're saying, Todd, even our own party is fighting against us. But folks, when you have partisan school board races, you know the good guys from the bad guys. I mean, it really is that simple. And at least you've got a fighting chance then. But I'm telling you, the key here to taking back the schools, partisan school board races, and you just heard it from Ryan Walters, who has now eliminated all DEI programs in public schools, no more drag queens, no more gender studies programs, and they're bringing God back into the classroom. What do you think about that? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Ah, ho, ho, ho.
Hey, what's wrong, Santa?
Well, it's these elves. The new ones all feel entitled. They don't want to work their way up the ladder. In fact, they hardly want to work at all. Then there's those social justice elves. They keep pointing out everyone's differences, dividing the elves and getting them all riled up. And don't get me started about the reindeer rights elves. The shop floor just isn't the happy little place it used to be.
We should have used Red Balloon.
That's right, Santa. RedBalloon.work is America's woke-free job board. Every day, we help good companies find reliable, motivated job seekers without all the woke nonsense. And our new Red Balloon recruiter service is turning traditional corporate recruiting on its head, delivering high-quality employees for a fraction of the price. Give yourself a Christmas gift and post your jobs on RedBalloon.work today. And use promo code SALEM to get 10% off your first month's job posting. Because life's too short for a bad hire.
Just got an urgent email from Jeff Stein from radio station KXEL, the blowtorch of the Midwest. Our friends in Waterloo, Cedar Falls, and Cedar Rapids. Todd, I received a couple of voicemails from Stern's listeners in my hometown of Toledo, Iowa. Grateful that Todd gave an update on the nativity scene squabble, and I've shared information about. Oh, by the way, that's the so they had the nativity scene in front of the fire station. And somebody said, no, you can't do that. You got to take down the baby Jesus. And then they said, well, if you put in Santa Claus, then it's okay. So they put in Santa Claus. They should have put in a kneeling Santa Claus. That would have been, that would have really triggered the atheist. But apparently, Grace Baker, I misspoke. And I called it Topeka, Iowa, instead of Toledo.
Oh, can't do that, Todd. Very different places.
My apologies. Yeah, very. Yeah, I mean, Topeka, Kansas, and I don't know what.
Topeka's probably getting all these calls like, what did we do wrong? I'm sorry. Wrong place.
How dare you do that at the fire department? What do we do at the fire department?
Oh, dear.
Jeff says, we're going to give you a tour of Toledo when you come on the book tour. Maybe even a photo in front of the Butter Cow tribute sculpture.
Oh.
Wow.
Butter Cow tribute.
I wonder what kind of butter they use.
Salted or unsalted?
That's a good point. I don't know. We'll find out. Is it like a real cow made out of butter? Is that the story here?
I feel like that wouldn't fare well in the summertime.
It could be in a refrigerated case or something.
That's true.
I don't know. Well, thank you, Mr. Stein. Moving on to Festivus. So every year, Dr. Rand Paul releases the Festivus report on government waste. And this year, $900 billion, that's billion with a B, in government waste. I'm concerned about a couple of things specifically. First of all, the National Institutes of Health spent $2.7 million to study Russian cats walking on a treadmill. Grace, how much would you have charged the government to put Merlot on the treadmill?
I don't know, man. She would be a good test subject. She is a really fast dog.
You do it for $1 million.
Yeah.
Save $1.7 million for the taxpayers. Also, there was a study done on Barbies that were used. So I guess when the people were applying for COVID paychecks, they used Barbie dolls as their proof of ID.
What?
So they would take a picture of Barbie and, you know.
Just taking inspiration from the movie, I guess.
I guess so. Here we go. This is where it gets weird. So they also spent almost $500,000, almost $500,000, to study HIV in transgender monkeys.
Transgender monkeys?
So what is a transgender monkey?
That's a good question.
Is it like a monkey that identifies as a gerbil?
Oh.
Or is it like interspecies?
I don't want to know.
Is that what we're talking about here? It's all very concerning. Also, they were apparently letting the monkeys smoke meth.
Oh, my gosh.
Some funky stuff going down.
Again, PETA, something, the Humane Society.
It's terrible. The Defense Department spent $8,300 on a lobster tank. All right, fine. Go to Red Lobster if you like that. Yes, $12 million to study meth head monkeys.
Transgender meth head monkeys.
I don't know.
These two separate groups.
These may be different monkeys. It's not clear right now. This is very disturbing. But the fact is that, this is crazy. Dr. Fauci.
Not more puppies.
He got $33.2 million to run Monkey Island.
Oh, my gosh.
There's something freaky going on.
Why are there so many monkeys?
South Carolina. Locals know it as Monkey's Island, a 3,000 monkey colony. And they spend $33 million to house, feed, and care for the monkeys before they're shipped to research labs around the country. So this is sort of like Guantanamo Bay for the monkeys, I guess.
I'm telling you.
Gitmo.
Planet of the Apes.
It's coming. And I don't know. I'm not sure I want to be around a monkey hopped up on meth. I'm just saying. That doesn't end well. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. This item coming in from north of the border. Fox News reporting that free tampons and menstrual pads are going to be available in Canadian government-controlled men's bathrooms. So this is happening at Parliament. You know, I think this is actually a good idea. I think it makes sense. We're talking about Canadian men here.
Oh.
They may need the tampons.
Oh, gosh. That's terrible thought.
It is what it is.
Terrible.
By the way, Grace, I'm going through the 25 pages of the Festivus, the list of grievances.
Yes.
And it turns out we're spending $1.7 billion a year. This is from the Agricultural Research Service at the USDA. We're spending a lot of money to determine how hot your dog gets when they walk outside.
Oh, why?
Is this a big issue for you?
Not really. I think I more have issue with, like, if it's really hot outside and her paws hit the hot pavement, that can, like, burn
their
paw
pads. Do you know,
does
Merlot tell you, I'm hot?
Well,
I need a Fresca.
Okay, it kind of is just common sense. Just look at your dog. Are they going, panting, and it's 100 degrees outside? Then they're probably hot.
They're hot. All right, so according to the report here, the USDA spent all of this money, cutting-edge research,
okay,
to support a summer study that walked 16 dogs of two different colors.
Oh, wow.
And then they measured their rectal temperatures.
Oh.
So I guess they were sticking a probe
thermometer
up their butts.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have heard that dogs with, like, black fur get hotter than dogs with, like, white fur. I have heard that.
Why is that important? Why do we need to be spending all this money?
I don't
money
know
on that?
Why we need to know that. I mean, it's just like if you put a black jacket on, you usually get a little
warmer.
So
you're saying that black haired dogs and what? There's a difference between black haired
yes,
dogs and white hair.
But again, it's common sense.
Well, you see, this is where you're wrong.
Oh,
according
oh
to the research,
no,
they're Labradors. Those are the kinds of dogs they use.
Okay,
and they found that the Labrador's fur color did not affect
what
their body temperature.
Oh, well, then see, that's a wives' tale. Okay. Well, that's why, I guess, so that they could disprove that once and for all, I guess.
But how much money did that take? I mean, why would, I just don't understand.
Why
that
would you spend millions of, or hundreds of thousands of dollars to find that out? I don't know.
It makes
there's so many more pressing issues.
It makes absolutely no sense. The government also paid $38 million to dead people.
Oh, lovely. That's, wait. So we've already got, were they paying them to vote? Is that it?
Oh, that's good. That's good. This is insanity. The amount of money that we're wasting, $900 billion. Oh, here we go. So I wanted to get to the meth head monkeys.
Okay. Yes, I need the meth head monkeys. Right. Come on.
So we're waiting for a guest, which is why we're talking about meth head monkeys. So,
it's the day after Christmas, you know.
It is what it is. So apparently they were tracking the monkey's sleep habits, and they implanted wire leads running into the head through
what?
The eye orbit. This is terrible.
Oh, my gosh. That's horrible.
You know, if that happened to me, I would want meth, too.
And then they send them to the Monkey Island. That's what they're doing.
Does meth make you like? Is that the one that makes you?
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know anything about that, Todd. But I imagine monkeys on meth are a little violent, I would imagine. I mean, again, wait, have we seen Planet of the Apes? Like, I'm just imagining that sort of a scenario.
I would say if you put a wire lead through the eye orbit of a beaver, it would be irate.
That too.
It'd be
I think the theme of today's show, Todd, is animals. We've got beavers,
animals
meth and
gone
monkeys,
wild.
Dogs. There
it's
you go.
True. Animals gone wild. Thank you, Grace Baker. All right, 901-260-5926, if you've got a meth head monkey you want to talk about. That's 901-260-5926. This is a weird last week of the show.
Okay. We've had...
Moving into the new year.
Yeah,
this is
that's
not the
true
last week of
no,
the show.
No, I'm about to say that sounds very apocalyptic.
All right. Anyway, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. A brand new book out, and we have a copy of it here. It's a pretty nice book. It's called Defining Truth, Articulating America's Worldview. The foreword is written by a good friend of this program, Pastor Jack Hibbs. And right now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is the author of the book, Josiah O'Neill. And he has a great and storied history working as a special agent with the Diplomatic Security Service and a former sheriff down in San Diego. Josiah, what an honor to have you with us today.
Hey, good morning. At least for me out here on the West Coast. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. You know, before we jump into the book, I wanted to get your take on something that was said over the weekend. Catherine Herridge from CBS News, she and I worked together a number of years at Fox. She was on one of the Sunday shows, and here is something that she predicted was about to happen.
Well, mine's a little dark. I just feel a lot of concern that 2024 may be the year of a black swan event. This is a national security event with high impact that's very hard to predict. There are a number of concerns that I have that factor into that. Not only this sort of enduring heightened threat level that we're facing, the wars in Israel, also Ukraine. And we're so divided in this country in ways that we haven't seen before. And I think that just creates fertile ground for our adversaries like North Korea, China, and Iran. And that's what concerns me most.
Josiah, I'm curious to hear from you. Do you share similar concerns, or is she overstating the issue?
Well, absolutely, and I think she's actually just reflecting what many people throughout the country feel as well. I mean, she aptly named or used the term black swan, of course referring to events that are difficult to predict or off normal course, and I think that's spot on with incidents involving China. Recently, as of yesterday, we hear that there was a cyber attack in Israel. Of course, you mentioned Ukraine and Russia. It's become quite the unpredictable world. And I think adding to that sense of uneasiness is the tumultuous state of American politics here. As Americans, I think many feel that the left has taken a hard stance against our values and our nation, of course, that makes it all the more unpredictable going forward.
Well, you know, the other thing that concerns me, and we've had a number of Congress folks on over the past 6 months talking about not if, but when. They're incredibly concerned about terrorist attacks on American soil. And yet we have this open, porous border. What they found, a couple of weeks ago, 10 IEDs near the border. And you wonder, do we have sleeper cells in this country waiting to be activated?
Well, I think undoubtedly there are an untold number of threats that we're simply unaware of. And that's an interesting segue into what I'm currently doing. So as you mentioned, I spent quite a few years working in public service, about 20 in all, between the military and, you mentioned, the State Department under Mike Pompeo and law enforcement as well. I think a lot of those within my industry and current active peers that I get to touch base with often are seriously concerned about the degrading effects that leftism has had on American preparedness. Of course, you mentioned the border, and it goes so much deeper into the intelligence side, cyber events, infrastructure issues. Because the left has adapted this hard anti-American stance culturally, it has affected our readiness. And we see that at all levels. When you talk to anybody in Border Patrol or CBP, the morale is through the floor. Talk to law enforcement officers, same thing. And all the while, you have what seems to be mainstream Republicans who refuse to engage in the aptly named culture war. And that's kind of what I'm doing now. Is after all those years in service, we realized that kicking doors and being at the front end of the tactical or kinetic event, we were not affecting the change that bureaucrats were having. And at least my opinion and theory, as I articulate in the book, is that this all boils back down to the culture war. America's forgotten who she is. And we've lost our way. And now we're seeing the trickle-down effect in a very, very real way when it comes to national security.
Yeah, the name is the name of the book, folks, Defining Truth, Articulating America's Worldview. And I would agree there. We are facing so many issues with regard to truth and absolute truth. And I don't think we have absolute truth in this country anymore, Josiah. And that's a problem both on the left and the right. Especially on social media, where it's hard to know what to believe these days.
Absolutely correct. There is a real lack of wisdom, I would say, to put it into a little Christianese term. There's plenty of intelligent people, if we could call them that, on both sides of the aisle, but there are few who are wise. And simply put, that's under being able to take the events around you and the data and properly articulated into an applicable sense. You know, we see this in the intelligence world where information is just that, information. Tons of information flows into government agencies that are out there protecting our country. But it takes the intelligent and wise analyst to take all of that data and make sense of it, and that's when we call it intelligence. Now, we see that occurring on the cultural level as well. You mentioned social media. We have 90%+ of people's news intake occurs via social media platforms now. This is a tremendous problem because essentially we've moved from trusted sources to anybody has a soapbox and can say whatever they want. Now, of course, both sides have weaponized that to an extent, but there's been no greater gift to the progressive Marxism in this country than to wholesale allow propaganda to freely flow while mitigating your opponent. So what I mean by that is, as I'm sure you're aware, the left is able to push their agenda and their ideology via social media and other forms, including mainstream media. And as soon as you disagree or dissent from that opinion, you're labeled as in an untold number of names. You're an insurrectionist. You're wrong. You're et cetera. You get banned. So you know what really needs to happen, and I see this a lot amongst a younger crowd. People are searching for wisdom, and of course, my opinion, as I articulate in the book, is I believe that that wisdom comes from the fear of God, as our forefathers did, and if America will get back to seeking wisdom in biblical values that we were founded on, I think there's hope, and that's really the message.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it there. Congratulations on the book, and folks, we have a direct link to it over on our website, Defining Truth, Articulating America's Worldview. Written by Josiah O'Neill, and of course, the foreword written by our good friend, Pastor Jack Hibbs. Josiah, congratulations, and we appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thank you, sir. And Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. All right. There you go, folks. Good book. Get yourself a copy wherever you get your books. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us on the Todd Stearns Radio Show as we wrap up Christmas heading into the new year. Let's go to North Carolina. Carrington is listening to us on The Talk Station, wants to chat about meth monkeys. Do you have a monkey that's hooked on meth, Carrington?
How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing
and,
good.
And that's good. And no, I wish, because if I did, I'd probably be making some money. I'd have like a little sideshow or something and charge like $5.
Have like a TikTok.
See the monkey do whatever a monkey would do on meth. But I was hearing you talk about the border, Todd, and I'm not trying to switch it up on you or anything, but I figured I'd talk about this because it's more important. You were talking about sleeper cells in this country. I think that China has definitely been in on that, especially with Joe Biden. Because Joe Biden's kind of like a Benedict Arnold. Like, he let China in through the back door. And they got farmland, and they busted that cop place in San Francisco. So, like, I wouldn't put it past.
Well, something interesting, and when you see the caravans of people, and by the way, they're saying this new caravan could have upwards of 15,000-20,000 people by the time it reaches the border. Take a close look at the people coming across. It's not like they're all mixed in together. You got the Chinese together. You got the North Africans together, the Middle Eastern crowd together, then all the South Americans. So it's something just smells of all of this. It clearly is organized, and there is some sort of an effort afoot to destabilize this country. And that's why so many people, illegals, are crossing this border. We are literally watching armies of young men coming into this country. Every single one of them is well-dressed, well-groomed. They have great clothes and shoes, and they're all armed with smartphones. These are not impoverished people we're talking about.
Yeah, and just like, I agree 100% with you, Todd, like 100%. And just like that app that was made for the migrants so they could find their way to the border, like how is that even legal?
Well, this is going to continue, and until President Trump gets into office, and he can put a stop to it. But I'm telling you right now, we need to find every single, I know this is a very unpopular position, every person who has come to this country illegally needs to be removed, every single one of them. However many millions of people that is, they've got to go. Carrington, appreciate that call. I was kind of hoping Carrington had a meth monkey. I thought that's what he wanted to talk about. Happy to talk about the border, but the meth monkey is kind of entertaining. I'm just saying. I love this story out of Fox Business. So there's a businessman in Melbourne, Australia, and he's got a pretty clever way to figure out how to hire people, to find out what kind of a person somebody is. There's this great little test. So when somebody comes in for a job interview, and the owner of the company offers them a cup of coffee, right? Would you like a beverage? Sure, I'm a little parched. I'll take a Fresca. And so you're given the Fresca, and you're sitting there, you're drinking the Fresca, and then the interview process is over, and then you get up and you shake hands and you leave. There's a good chance you're not going to get a job. Because the guy says what he does, he waits to see what the candidate does with the empty cup. I should have done this here at the radio station.
Yeah, you kind of just said, we need people, Grace. We'll hire you.
I should have offered you a Fresca.
You should have.
Why do I keep talking about Fresca?
That's what I just said to Producer Dylan. I said, why are we doing Fresca?
I don't know.
I've never even had a Fresca.
Wait, what?
No.
Oh, it's delicious, refreshing.
Is it? What is it?
It's like, I don't know, but some people say it's grapefruit.
Does it have meth in it?
No, it doesn't have meth. Stop. It might. I don't know. It's addictive.
Okay. Well, clearly, like meth.
It's like I only drink Canada Dry. That's the only kind of ginger ale I will drink.
Oh, okay.
Except for, there's another off-brand, which is really good, but by and large.
Did you see Sierra Mist? It's not Sierra Mist anymore. It's called Starry.
Wait, what?
Yes.
What happened to Sierra Mist?
It's Starry now.
It was 7-Up, wasn't it? Or is that something
different? No, that still exists. That's like a cherry flavor. There's Sprite. That's a different drink.
Ugh.
Keep up, Todd.
I'm sorry. It's hard to keep up these days.
I mean, you're just lost in the Fresco.
I really am. And the Coke Zero, can't stand it.
Yeah, no. Just drink real Coca-Cola at that point.
But I'm curious. This is fascinating. So he says if the person gets up and does not take the cup back into the kitchen, then he says that's probably a person they're not gonna hire.
They don't clean up after themselves.
They don't clean up after themselves.
It's true.
That's it. It's always the small stuff.
See, it's like at church when you have the little communion cup. Do you stick it in the back of the chair or do you go throw it away when you leave?
Or do you like put your pinky finger in there and just swirl it around to get the rest of the Welch's grape juice?
Ew, you have to be pretty desperate to do that.
One time I went down to a church in New Orleans and they ran out of the wafers, so they had to use garlic oyster crackers.
Oh, wow.
I just took a handful.
Oh, Todd.
I know.
A little greedy.
It was
it a lunchtime
good.
Service?
It was.
That's
the thing. It was a long service.
When it starts at like 11:30 and you're like, geez, I'm hungry.
You got to have a snack. This due in remembrance of me. All right. We got to take a break here, folks. Matt Gaetz, Kirk Cameron coming up next. By the way, check out ToddStarns.com. We'll be right back, America.